The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Unlimited broadband so you can download, upload and stream as much as you like.
Good morning again. It's Oliver Callan filling in as Master Tuberty is off school for another week. And he'll return all the fresher for 20 kilometres and or a county's distance fresher, because Phase 2 Plus, that's what we're calling it, Phase 2 Plus, has begun. Congratulations. As of 9 o'clock for a lot of shops. So tell us how you are going to use yours, your 20 kilometres, your county-wide span of freedom on the text 51551 and on the email ryan@rte.ie. Hashtag stay local is the nifty new moniker, I suppose, for the national campaign. Many shops back as of now. Bookshops, clothes shops, libraries. I hope you can have a browse, but we have to do it safely, of course. 2 metres apart. Face coverings where possible, because it's still lurking out there, the coronavirus. Or as they say, Osquailge an coronavirus. Very different. If phase one, I suppose, was about sneaking away from the lockdown monster on tippy-toes, Phase two is kind of a brisk walk away from it, an attempt to briskly walk away from it. We dare not jog, not just yet, you heard Minister Harris, because we could wake up the monster again. But there is hope of bringing other dates forward. There's talk of hairdressers, maybe, perhaps, depending on how we go now with phase two plus. There's hope of restaurants coming soon. I'm kind of giddy at the thought of the restaurants, you know, but also nervous about the half-empty rooms that it might involve. A mask as well, big question. Maybe we just get fitted with a nose bag altogether. You know, the things for feeding oats to horses, like a mask, but they fill it with your dinner and you just munch away in the corner to yourself. But there is reason to be cheerful on a serious note. From the journal.ie today, we read you can visit older people with distancing, masks indoors, preferably outdoors as well. Groups of 15 can play sport outside in parks, and there's to be a phased reintroduction of visiting at nursing homes from next Monday. And that is going to be an emotional moment for so many people, both for the visitor and for those in those care homes, because that, of course, is where the tragedy unfolded, unfortunately, since March. For youngsters as well, hoping to get driver's licences, NCT centres, driver's licence services are reopening, a limited basis. All the theory test centres are opening, so that's kind of the first phase before you get apply even for your lessons and your tests and so on. So it's exciting for many reasons. All these little ordinary things have taken on a whole new meaning. And if you are out browsing safely in your local shops, Randall Life on the Twitter machine says, as we move to phase two reopening, please consider spending your precious euros in hard-pressed local cafes, pharmacies, restaurants when they open, boutiques, bookshops and so on, rather than in robust multinationals. Your loyalty could spell survival to honest, hard-working neighbours and friends. Hear, hear, we say. Now, we've heard a lot of Simon Harris in the last hour, but there's a good tweet which kind of sums up what we need to bear in mind, because there's a deluge of information, but some of it is actually very simple. So on his Twitter machine, he says, COVID-19 is still here. We depend on each other to do the right thing. So keep 2 metre distance. Wash your hands regularly. Keep close contacts small. Stay local. Use face coverings on public transport and in shops. Avoid touching your face and clean surfaces regularly, you know. There's a lot of county pride at the moment, obviously, because we've, you know, the phase two plus is about the your freedom is the width of your and length of your county. And our own Brian O'Connell in RTÉ, that is, tweets, as my neighbour just said, why would anyone want to leave Cork anyway? You see, they're delighted with themselves. Always in Cork, aren't they? Now, Feed the Heroes. Remember that campaign at the start of the lockdown? They, after 11 weeks, raised 1.3 million euro, 180,000 meals delivered to the frontline heroes, thousands of people sustained through long hours and so on. So with their declaring mission accomplished in terms of feeding the heroes, they're winding down the operation and they won't be accepting donations after tomorrow. So they thank everyone for their great support. It was started by Keane O'Flaherty, fueling the frontline, providing necessary and nutritious meals to frontline heroes fighting COVID-19 in Ireland. That's reason to hope again, isn't it? That, you know, that pressure that was on the frontline staff are still way down. But we have to weigh up the dangers and the fears, because there are still some 30 people in ICUs right now. So the danger is out there, but we have Done our bit. Now, on the subject of masks and lip reading, Leslie Ann Horgan tweets, I'm reasonably hard of hearing and I rely on lip reading. Went to a coffee shop today for the first time and the server was behind a screen and also wearing a mask. I really struggled with the whole experience. Hadn't considered that aspect of what they're calling the new normal. So that's one thing. Yeah, lip reading, you can't really tell with the mask. So they're going to have to find a way around that. Perhaps if they're behind a screen, they'll be able to remove it for a moment, although there is a special way that you have to touch your mask and so on. Now, staying just very briefly with the COVID-19 issues, and there's new breakthroughs happening all the time. As we know, the vaccine discovery campaign is still well underway. But here's an interesting story from the Daily Telegraph today. Dogs can detect COVID-19 by sniffing armpits. Now, bear with us. Don't gross out just yet. Malinois Shepherd dogs had an overall success rate of 95% after sniffing the odour from hundreds of patients' armpits. Dogs are able to detect the presence of COVID-19 on infected patients by sniffing their armpits, according to a new study by who else? French scientists. There's something about armpits that you just think France for some reason. I think it's kind of like jokes in 80s movies in America. National Lampoons. And, you know, unshaved armpits. That comes to mind. Hope you're not having breakfast. Anyway, these researchers at the veterinary school outside Paris trained 8 Belgian Malinois Shepherd dogs to identify people infected with the coronavirus from odour samples taken from the armpits of more than 360 subjects, both healthy and suffering from COVID. Some people can't even train their dog to not eat the postman. So maybe they need to get in touch with those vets over there. Now to something completely different, and I won't talk about armpits anymore this morning. The Irish Sun tells us, remember this story about Colleen Rooney and Rebecca Vardy and the whole catching her out thing. Do you remember that? And it was a brief respite from Brexit. We actually struggled this morning upstairs to remember. What was that story that distracted us from Brexit? Yes, remember that. We were obsessed with it for years, but it's kind of gone down the pecking order. So we're told that angry Colleen Rooney has sacked her lawyers amid fears her legal case against Rebecca Vardy is crumbling. She's in a costly legal battle after accusing Becky of leaking stories about her. And she blew her top last week when told her case is not as strong as she initially believed. She accused legal advisors of a catalogue of errors before sacking them. I presume she's the apprentice. You're fired. You're fired in a Liverpool. You know you're fired. A source said when Colleen posted her infamous Wagatha Christie allegations. Oh, I remember those puns. She thought it was a total certainty that she was in the right and the case was going to work. But now she's been told that she made of some mistakes along the way and is keen now to shift the blame to anyone else. It's a total mess. It's on page 15 of the Irish Sun if you need more. To other very important matters, GAA shorts. Page 3 of the Irish Daily Star, and Jim Gallagher tells us that a British fashion bible has hailed GAA gear trend due to the star of Normal People, Paul Mescal. He's been officially named a style icon for millions of Brits. Men's fashion bible GQ announced that the tiny sports attire that he wears both in the show and jogging outside his home in London. This is the strange thing, isn't it? Connell and Paul seem to have the same fashion sense, actor and character. Maybe he's gone Daniel Day-Lewis and he can't get out of the Connell look. Who knows? Anyway, how do they describe these O'Neill's shorts? Well, if you're not wearing your boxes as shorts, then you're doing it all wrong, the magazine said. This summer's biggest shorts trend are shorts so short, floaty and alarmingly breathable that they might as well be your boxers. Paul Mescal, who did describe as the hunky alabaster actor from across the Irish Sea, is the surprise style icon of the lockdown summer. Now, we've seen a couple of magazines hailing the short shorts and saying that loads of people are wearing. I mean, you go into country towns, you'll always see a fella going around with the short shorts, with a hurl in his hand, or a bottle of TK Red Lemonade, and, I don't know, a Nathan Carter T-shirt. I'm just making this up as I go along. But I'm interested. O'Neill's really haven't kind of told us that they're flying off the internet and so on. O'Neill's, of course, great Irish company. And they need to get on this. They need to start, you know, like half sequins ones or some kind of fashion, extra fashion twist before Top Man and Pennies and all those. Actually, before I leave the Star, other celebs. Terry McGeehan has a column across two pages every Monday. He says, slicing through the spin every Monday. It's about politics, but he has a little note here that wishes a belated happy birthday to Marty Whelan, star of Winning Streak. Oh, yes, indeed. That Marty, yes, indeed. One of the nicest people in show business. Hear, hear. Marty shares his June 7th birthday. So his birthday was yesterday. But he's the same birthday, Marty Whelan, as Liam Neeson, Tom Jones Bear Grylls. There you go. And fun fact of the day, Liam Neeson is older than Marty Whelan. He's 68 yesterday. Marty is 64.
64, you say? How dare you release my private information?
Okay, I'll get out. And of course, poor Liam Neeson lost his mum, who was 94 at the weekend. Tom Jones is 80. 80 years old. Still as sexy as hell, yeah. That was kind of a Newcastle Tom Jones. Come from Newcastle. We'll move on. But staying in the art scene, because Tom Jones is quite arty. In arts news, the Irish Independent tells us the National Gallery needs $2 million in aid as it reopens. It needs to plug a hole of almost €2 million due to lost revenue following the COVID-19 pandemic. €2 million? That's free. You pay in free, although you do pay for some of the tours, the kind of temporary tours they have. New measures, anyways. They're preparing to reopen on the 20th of July, like most of the museums and many of them around the country, after 3 months closed. Their new measures include online ticketing, which will allocate time slots to prevent queuing and an end to audio guides, school tours and large group visits. So this is kind of, for the moment anyway, we won't be able to just stroll in off the street to the museum, which is a nice thing. Sean Rainbird, who's the gallery director, promises the reimagined gallery will provide individuals with a more personal experience. He says, I've always been able to go into the gallery in the early morning and the evenings when it's closed, and it's rather magical to be there on your own. The paintings become like old friends. So I suppose with time slots, you'll be able to control the numbers. He also asked if there would be a limited time allocated in front of popular masterpieces such as Caravaggio's The Taking of Christ. He said, we'll have that option in our back pocket. If everyone ends up in the same room in front of one painting, we'll have to regulate it. But we will try to do it as far as we can with a light and friendly touch. I was actually lucky enough to be in the National Gallery on the day the Italy rugby match, Six Nations match. Remember the Six Nations? Totally abandoned, gone. And we strolled into the National Gallery and it was only lovely. So it was at the time. But that's a whole other world now. And now, in urgent James Bond news, James Bond has reportedly taken on one of his toughest missions to date, fatherhood. The upcoming No Time to Die movie is expected to introduce the most important Bond girl in the movie's almost 60-year history, 007's five-year-old daughter. Daughter? Yes, it's true. Bond is a dad, a movie insider told the paper. It's the one thing fans would never expect. That's because, you know, Ian Fleming... You know, he did the books and there's no... Anyway, the New York Post tells us, in Daniel Craig's last turn as the big screen's most famous spy, he plays a doting dad to Matilda, a daughter with Dr. Madeleine Swann, played by French actress Léa Seydoux, the UK paper says. The UK paper being the Mail. It is just one of the shock twists in the flick. Well, it's not a shock twist if you're telling us now, is it? Said to be very timely because it involves Bond saving the world from a biological pandemic. Not quite COVID-19, but similar. That's kind of amazing that the Bond movie's about a pandemic. And that's the first time they've described the plot, as far as I know. The Insider also says there's one shock in a movie filled with twists. Well, people may not be happy with such a dramatic change. But then, of course, they've been making up stuff for James Bond for years. Ian Fleming wrote about, I think, 14 books or something, and there's been, what, 26 different movies at this stage? In Shrek news, much like Lion King or How to Train Your Dragon, Shrek is one of the most iconic animated movies out there. The first one came out in 2001, wow, 19 years ago. But it turns out Shrek wasn't originally going to have the iconic Scottish accent that Mike Myers gives it. Before Myers signed on to voice the ogre, the character was going to be played by the late comedian Chris Farley, but tragically he died of a heart attack before finishing it. Then Myers, who's Canadian, he took over and he used an American-style accent. We're only learning this now, all these years later. And he watched the movie back, thought it was not good, was thinking, should I go English? Then that would clash with the chief villain, Farquaad, Lord Farquaad. And he decided to re-record the whole thing, and this is the twist he put on it. But what was the original Shrek going to sound like? We have a clip of Chris Farley. This is
people
original Shrek.
Me and they go, ah, help! A big, stupid, stinky, smelly, ugly ogre! I'm so scared! And they judge me before they even know me. My folks always told me that everyone loves ogres.
So, I guess they were a little overprotective. That's why I gotta do this. I want him to know I can take care of myself.
Chris Farley, the late Chris Farley. That was the original Shrek. Yeah, it was good. You could kind of hear a little bit of the sort of friendly, the warmth of Shrek. But, I mean, the Scottish, kind of pseudo-Scottish accent. It's not quite there, is it? It's not quite Scottish enough. And it definitely faded a little bit as it went on. But it's iconic and everybody has a stab at that voice. But that was the original. 51551 is the text to remind you of that. ryan@rte.ie. Before we go to an old tune, I want to talk about Looney Tunes, because Elmer Fudd, remember him? Going after Bugs Bunny with the gun. Well, according to the HBO Max, the animated franchise will no longer be doing guns. In the Looney Tunes of old, the hapless Fudd was the big game hunter, usually armed with a shotgun. But in response to gun violence in the US, animators working on the new series have ensured that Fudd will be more creative in his attempts to catch Bugs Bunny. As a result, he will be using a scythe instead of a firearm. So that's a Grim Reaper thing, isn't it? Sounds more gruesome. The new series, commissioned by Warner Brothers, will stay true to the spirit of the original series by placing focus on cartoony violence and will still include TNT and the Acme stuff. It's worth mentioning, I suppose, that the guns are a bit of a nail issue in the US. I think nearly 40,000 gun deaths a year. So that's one effort, I suppose. An effort, isn't it? Now, one person who was always against guns, he was quite anti-guns in a lot of his live shows, was Bono, Paul Hewson. You know him well. He's introduced an all-star cover of Beautiful Day. So he's in the news on rollingstone.com. It's 20 years since All That You Can't Leave Behind. That was the album that featured Beautiful Day, Walk On, Elevate. I like to slag Bono, but I'm a bit of a U2 fan. So I'm coming out of the closet as a U2 fan. Anyway, the four-hour online celebration advertised an appearance by Phineas & Co. That's Phineas of Billie Eilish, co-writer, her brother, Phineas O'Connell. Is that an Irish name? They've done the remix of U2's beautiful hit with a roster that includes Coldplay's Chris Martin, Camila Cabello, Ty Dolla $ign, Tove Lo, Khalid, Leon Bridges and Noah Cyrus. Prior to the rendition, Bono himself addressed the class of 2020 with a mini commencement speech that touched on the current state of America. Here's Bono.
As an Irishman, I've always believed that America is not just a country. It's an idea. It's a dream that belongs to the whole world. Now, I know in recent times, the world has been reminded that America is an idea that doesn't even belong to a lot of Americans. And that for many black Americans, Lady Liberty's torch is far from a beacon of hope. It's often a flashlight in the face. After 244 years striving for freedom, sometimes marching, sometimes protesting, sometimes on your knees, sometimes taking the knee, you get there. You can vault the barricades of bigotry, and with your vote, you can dismantle institutions that uphold that bigotry and are in your way. You can enter America. You can enter America. We will all enter with you. But it's going to be you. And that is going to be a beautiful day.
Ah, he ends on that, his own brand. Well, it's okay. It's Bono's okay. He's always a smidge away from farce at times, isn't he? But there's a serious message in there. And Bono, he's very nasal in that one there, you know. He's quite nasally in it. But yeah, 20 years since All That You Can't Leave Behind and Beautiful Day and all that. We try to edit that Bono clip down, but he's just quite hard. He's like long winded. Once he goes, he just goes on one and it goes on and on and on, but ends always with a circle kicker. Beautiful Day. We're not going to play Beautiful Day. We're going to play something a little bit more poppy and upbeat because we're happy and hopeful for Phase 2 Plus. So here's a song called Say So. Doja Cat, Say So. That's trendy, isn't it? It's more, I suppose, contemporary than Beautiful Day, unfortunately. Beautiful day, though, still for me. Keep your text rolling in. 51551. You can also email ryan@rte.ie. WTF, Callan, you just dropped a major spoiler for the new Bond film without shouting spoiler alert. Well, texter, unless you're planning to switch off the internet between now and November when the film comes out, I don't think you're going to be able to avoid the news that James Bond has become a dad. Oh, I did it again. Sorry. John and Leitrim texts, now, short shorts, that's the second time you've mentioned sequins. Please stop promoting sequins. They're incredibly damaging to our environment. Is it because they keep dropping or something? So if you're a sequins wearer, please, I suppose, pick it up like poop from your dog. Maybe we need a little bag to bring your sequins home with you. Very dangerous sequins. I mean, I don't own any sequins, actually, which is really quite ashamed of. But now I feel good. I feel good because they're terrible for the environment. Oliver, are those shorts the ones that Ming Flanagan wears? We'll move on from that one before that image takes over our mind. What about masks made of see-through material? Lip reading would still be possible. Yeah, but I suppose if it's see-through, would it still stop the vapours? But I'm sure someone somewhere will work on it, hopefully, and will help those who need it, those hard of hearing who need to read lips and also protect each other. When we go for a drink, will it be given by a drip in the arm to prevent the removal of face masks, says Tom? Can you imagine, you know, gin by drip? Doesn't sound good. Someone's definitely tried it, though. Nuala, also in Leitrim. Always get Leitrim messages, actually, when I'm on for some reason. I'm using my newfound freedom to travel from the northern end of our beautiful County Leitrim to the southern end to take two walks. Bohorn and Nave and Kildra Lake in Clune. Loving lockdown in Leitrim, says Nuala. And, of course, Leitrim has the notoriety of having, of all the coastal counties, the shortest coastline, I think, 4 kilometres, something like that. These are the dumb facts I have in my head. Big shout out for Greens of Monkstown, reopening tomorrow. Ow more to David Emer and Joe. That's a florist in Monkstown in Dublin. Not, there's other Monkstowns, aren't there? Is there one in Cork and one that alone? And also Martine Brangan has gone in touch on Twitter to point out that there's no browsing in libraries. It's click and collect only. So we're very happy to clarify that. 51551 is the text. It's 9:30. We'll take a break.